Hello and welcome to the Inner Gamer, episode 146. We are your weekly dose of video game news, reviews, opinions, and discussions made for and by our listeners. My name is Charlie Smith.
I'm Austin Morales.
And I'm Brett Yanosky. Today on the Inner Gamer, we are going to talk about the big three: Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus, Assassin's Creed Origins, and Super Mario Odyssey. In our game segment today, we are going to talk a little bit about Kinect, maybe not around anymore, Star Wars Battlefront 2's possibly shorter than normal campaign, L.A. Noire is being re-released, and in our discussion topic, we are going to get into, for the Halloween theme, how video games scare us and some of our favorite spooky games from back in the day. So stay tuned. It's going to be really awesome. And Brett, a.k.a. myself, cue the music.
Welcome to the Inner Gamer.
It's October 31st, 2017. Welcome to the Spooky Scary Inner Gamer Podcast. If you like us, please head on over to iTunes and leave us a review or tell a friend, or else we cease to exist. Let's talk some video games.
How do we come back from that?
I don't even know. That was amazing. That was so good.
Right on.
I love it. Happy Halloween, everybody.
Whoop, whoop.
It is October 31st. We are currently dressed up right now. I wish you could see us, but we
look so
good. Yeah. We look so sexy, you know. We got Charlie over here looking as a...
Best Wonder Woman you've ever seen.
Best Wonder Woman you've ever seen.
No.
Austin's the Red Hood, and then Brett is Master Chief.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's so good.
So good.
We lie. We're not really dressed up.
No. Hey, we're not even dressed.
They don't even know that.
That's right. Yeah.
We're so not dressed right now.
No pants Tuesdays.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So, well, guys, I think that you probably had a very busy weekend, just like I did. There's a lot happening. It was Halloween. We had Stranger Things 2, Season 2 come out.
What?
We had Wolfenstein 2 come out, Assassin's Creed Origins, and Super Mario Odyssey.
Oh, boy.
So much to do.
Are we missing something? I feel like we're missing. There's just so much.
I mean, I don't know if did anybody see Jigsaw or anything like that. Like, that came out this weekend.
I'm not going to bother
with that either.
It's over.
Let's talk about we're gonna talk a little bit about the three games that came out this week, and then we're gonna carry on that conversation next week because we won't be able to fit everything into this conversation this week. So we're gonna see what we can talk about, cover on each game a little bit, let you know what we think about it, and then we'll come back with more detailed stuff next week once we've gotten deeper into the game. So starting off, Austin, Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus. Tell us how you feel about this game.
So The New Colossus is the sequel to Wolfenstein.
The New Order.
Thank you. I was like, wait, was it Bad Blood or New Order? Bad Blood was the DLC.
Old Blood, sorry.
It's
a prequel, yeah.
It's a prequel, yeah.
So they're all good. You should play them all. Play those leading up to this if you want to get the full story. But man, this thing, like, Bethesda has just refined everything so well. This is like, I think this is the best game they've made up to this point, by far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great graphics,
like, yeah,
great story, great pacing, great characters. Interesting things happen. You know, there's little things that happen in the world that just make everything so its own and engaging. And the gunplay is awesome. It's quick. It's fast. It's still the classic. You know, you have to hit X to pick up stuff when you're running around the world.
But you don't have to look at it.
No, you don't.
Really?
Yeah,
it's kind of just
whoop.
Because that was how it was last game. I felt like you had to like really like look down on and just like pinpoint your mouse
on.
I
had to do that. No. In fact, in this game, I noticed when holding a heavy weapon, like the laser heavy weapon, like I didn't even have to look at something or press X. I think it just kind of picked up ammo for me.
Oh yeah,
I don't know if that was a glitch or if I have no idea.
Yeah, sometimes it seemed like it would do that.
Magical powers.
It excited me. I'll tell you what.
That's awesome.
It they've kind of done a mixed match of like all their games in this. There's a level where like there's a nuke that went off in the city, and it's basically like Fallout. And then there's a place where you go to, I think it's Mars, I'm not sure. You go to some planet, and it looks like Doom. So it's cool to see like how they've added all this stuff in there to like, I don't know. For me, it's just like harkening back to those games, which is really cool.
That's interesting. Oh, nice. Yeah, because this game is developed by Machine Games, which is owned by Bethesda. Bethesda was the publisher for it, and Machine Games, they picked up for this Wolfenstein franchise, which is really awesome. They were like, hey, we want you to make a game for us. And they were like, can we do Wolfenstein? We'll do it good. We promise. Can you let us do this? And they were like, yeah, sure. Come up with something for Wolfenstein. So Bethesda had the property that they own, and they were like, all right, well, here, have at it. And that's what became of it.
Thank God.
They did good. They did really good. Yeah. I mean, if you like the other ones, like this one is like 10 times better.
Oh, yeah.
There's just so much. I can't really talk about it because I don't want to spoil anything since it's pretty linear. I don't want to say much because it's just going to spoil it if you haven't played it yet. And it's a game you should definitely get to this year before the holiday's over. I lost my thought.
Getting to it before the holiday's over.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just because it's a linear game, I'm surprised. There's so many times, like, I'm not sure what's going to happen, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you'll go through the story, and then, like, there's just one huge plot twist. Just like, okay, I guess the game's over.
Nope. Oh, good.
Nope, it just got started. That was, like, the intro, the last 2 hours.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Actually, no, I think it was 5 hours, and then the game just, like, whoop, 180, and it's so cool. Like, Travis was super engaged, which never happens. Yeah. So I was like, oh, yeah, this is a cool game. I'm going to watch you play. But this is like, oh, my God, I can't believe that happened.
It's like the newest episode of Friends, you know? You just gotta watch it. You're glued.
So last time when you played this game, they had the kind of like a pseudo hub world or whatever where you met up with your crew. There was, you know, like five of them or whatever that you could go interact with in between like missions that you were doing.
Yeah.
And I know that still exists in this game, but I've heard it's like more expansive and there's more characters to interact with and more things to do in that area to kind of like build, like develop the character.
Yeah. There's definitely, I found there's like a shooting range.
Oh, really?
In the first area.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember what score you got? Because I kind of want to be competitive right now.
I honestly, it was an afterthought. I was like, I'm going to go shoot Nazis. I'm not going to practice my...
I got an achievement for beating one of the in-game characters. He had a
score really?
375. And the first time I was how did he get that? And then I was just like, you know what? Nah, son. And I just whooped him out of the park. It was 450, by the way. Top that. It's probably not even that good. But I got an achievement for it. But there's definitely some parts that are locked off.
Yeah.
Once you first get there, like there's a hangar that I can't go to yet and, you know, other places. And it definitely seems like that small hub right there is going to expand as I continue to play the game and come back to it, which is exciting because you don't like to go through a game and get to this area. And, you know, you do the thing where you scour every corner for every collectible and then you come back and you're like, oh, well, there's nothing left for me to scour. So I'm just going to, I guess, continue playing the game. But as it expands, you get to scour some more.
Yeah.
Feed that hunger, you know.
Feed it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, when you hit this dogs. Twist, like you get this, you get to choose between these three upgrades, and one of them allows you to break through certain obstacles like walls or crates. And at first I was like, why is this? Because I could see, so the like walls that you can break through have like, they're kind of like mini blinds, right? Except they're metal. And I was like, I see something back there that's glowing. How do I get back there? You know, early on in the game. But now that I've got this upgrade, I'm like, oh, so I could probably go back at some point and just, you know, already have this new ability and just, you know, find all these random collectible things.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Sounds like what I was experiencing in Super Mario as well. They're making me do that, which we'll talk about later. But they have those little secret things. It's like, oh, this is glowing. You should come check this out. But you can't get there yet.
Yeah.
And it's just not cool. I don't like how they play games with you like that.
So I don't really remember the first one too much. I just know it was amazing. And I loved every bit of it. All the characters and all the character development and all that. But this one really dives into, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, this one really dives into Blazkowicz's character Like who he was as a kid, who he was growing up.
Oh yeah.
And that ties into the story hardcore. I'm just like, dang. Like,
yeah, those first 15 minutes, you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
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 I like that because he's such a good character because he's like that macho man kind of guy, but he has so much more to him beyond that shell that they perceive him as. And I love that about his character because usually, like, I mean, I mean, he's not like Duke Nukem, but I looking at people like Duke Nukem and like the guy from Gears of War, the main character Marcus or whatever. Yeah. I think Marcus Phoenix is that his name?
Yeah, Marcus Phoenix.
Yeah, like all these guys have these big like macho kind of like look to them, and then
burly.
Yeah, but Blazkowicz has so many more layers to him that.
Which because it's from Texas.
Yeah,
that's true.
But he's also
better in Texas.
From Dallas.
He's also of Polish ancestry, and he's Jewish.
Hell yeah, Polish!
So, right? So yeah, he's all, like, you got this multifaceted dude just killing tons of Nazis,
right.
Especially in the Old Blood. Half of the game, he's not even wearing a shirt. He's just killing Nazis shirtless, and that's just America.
Yeah,
like you can take my shirt, but I still kill you, Nazi.
you sound like a Brad Pitt from the Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah. I keep saying while I'm playing that, I'm like I'm in the business of killing Nazis, and cousin, business is good, you know?
That's funny. So, good game, huh?
It's fantastic. Yeah. This is definitely in my top three picks for game of the year.
I hear a lot of people giving, and it's weird. Now, how do you feel about when it came out? Like, do you feel like the fact that it came out at this moment when all these other things are happening, do you think people are going to pick it up and play it and like receive it, or do you feel?
I think it's holding its own very easily. Yeah,
easily. Yeah. I mean, you have Assassin's Creed Origins, but there's still people into that right now. But it's just kind of like that franchise is kind of it's there. Okay, cool. I'll play it when I want to.
Right,
but for the hardcore Nintendo fans, and for those who actually were able to get a Switch,
right.
They're going to probably pick up Super Mario, but this is one of those games where if you love that single-player story aspect of a game that's not, locked behind loot boxes and multiplayer bullshit, this is what you want to play this Christmas.
It's really just a pure video game that just kind of puts you into the driver's seat of a killing machine and just lets you go.
Yeah.
And it's visceral and it's punchy and it's really fluid. Mm-hmm. And the storytelling is terrific.
Yeah.
It
reminds me a lot of Half-Life, actually. Half-Life 2.
I could see
like,
that, actually.
Just the way it's... I mean, it's very linear, but at the same time, like, when you hit these certain points, it's like, oh, my God, what's going to happen next? And I was kind of comparing it to Destiny in a way, because, Destiny's pretty linear. Well, I'm not, like, in it like, oh, it's just like Destiny. No, but it's like you can run through these corridors sometimes and not kill anybody and get to your next objective.
Right.
But you get these really awesome cutscenes that reveal something about the story, and you're like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah. Like if I was sneaking around and I just heard some German soldiers talking about what they have come to perceive your character as is a terrifying creature named Terror Billy. Because he's killed hundreds, maybe thousands of Nazis.
Yeah.
Well, I just say, bring Terror Billy on. He's like, no, don't say that. He might come, And it's just, I mean, that's just a small facet of just a large piece that's been beautifully put together.
I don't think we mentioned, but this is when the Nazis actually have come to America and taken over. So,
alternative history thing and all that.
They won in 1945, and then they bombed New York, and then the Allies surrendered, and from here on, then it's just been Nazi.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you're just this small resistance party that's meeting up with other resistance parties. That's where I'm at. Anyway.
Take down the Nazis.
I can't wait to play it. Like when it was such a breath of fresh air when I played the first one, the New Order came out. I was like, man, this is a game that I never wanted. Didn't know I wanted until it came out. And I was I've been waiting for something like this for so long.
And you're trying to convince me to play it. I was like, I'll get around to it. It looks okay.
Look at you now.
I know.
Now you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
See, sucking at the
thank
teeth.
Me. Thank
teeth
me.
Of Bethesda.
awesome. So they the devs actually came out. So people have been talking about, like, why doesn't this game have multiplayer? And where is the multiplayer in this game? And for me, like, from a personal standpoint, I'm glad they didn't put it in here because I want I mean, they made such a good single player story. I want that to be as solid as it can be. And they came out and said that they didn't put in multiplayer because it would dilute the story mode and they didn't want to do that. And I think it shows with this game because, like we talked about last week, like what was happening to the single player experience, like this is kind of what the point I was going towards is that when you include these multiplayer components, there's so much development time that has to go into that side of it that, you know, as much time as you can spend on the story, you do, but it's not going to be the same as mm-hmm. if you just do the single player. And I'm hoping that the sales of this do really, really well and just show up because I want to see more things like this.
Yeah.
We need this. We needed the new Colossus.
Yeah.
Especially in this time.
Pure shoot them up.
Oh, man.
It's awesome.
So good.
Kill them and grill them.
Cool. So, Charlie, you you played a lot of Assassin's Creed Origins.
Yeah, I sure have. You know, a lot of people are getting down on it because it's just another Assassin's Creed game, you know, like, oh, boy. But really, they took the bare bones of what the franchise was, which was running around doing parkour and killing dudes. But they added no Nazis in this one, thank God. But they added RPG elements, you know, like skill trees, levels, loot, the ability to, you know, scan for loot,
right,
is really interesting. And so it actually feels like a different game, and including because of the combat system. I think this is what the Assassin's Creed franchise really needed, was for them to just take away the combat system where, you know, you've just got 20 dudes coming at you and then you're just like, okay, you're going to come at me, I'm going to press X and I'm going to kill you. Okay, you're going to come at me and then I'm going to do the same thing until this whole circle of dudes are dead, and it makes no sense. In this one, you actually have, you know, like your R1 or your right bumper is a light attack, your R2 or your right trigger is a heavy attack, and then your L1, I don't play it on PS4, so I'm trying to translate here.
Yeah.
your L1 or your left bumper is a shield, and then you've got, you know, your bow on the left trigger or the L2. So you actually have to like actually strike and make combos almost.
Yeah.
And do dodges with the X or the square button. And it's completely different. At first I was a little bit annoyed because I was just pressing the X button, like that's how all of the Assassin's Creed games have been.
Like X to attack.
It still feels like an Assassin's Creed game, but the combat's better. But my mind couldn't wrap itself around that for a second because I was just dodging. And why am I dodging so much? Oh, that's right. I need to press these buttons to attack.
So all your attacks are like the triggers then?
Right.
Yeah? Okay,
right.
Interesting.
And they kind of got rid of the original idea that they had for Assassin's Creed where they had, you know, like the top button would be the button that does your head actions, and then like your circle and your square would do, you know, like the hand actions, you know, like circle would manipulate the environment, like maybe you pickpock somebody.
Right.
And then the X would be your attack. And then the X button was for your feet. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Like they tried to do that and it kind of evolved into something else. But this time they're getting rid of that, and I think it's great. Like there's not even a sprint button anymore.
Really?
Like you're always just sprinting. Which, again, at first was confusing because I was like, okay, I've been ingrained all of these years.
Right, right.
To hold, like, I've got this claw hammer style, like, where I've got my index finger on the A button to sprint, and I'm using these fingers, like, the fingers after it to use the every other button. And, like, now I keep doing that, and I'm like, I don't need to do that anymore. There's no need for that. But it's really terrific, you know? Like, it's huge.
Yeah.
It's really big. And they make that easier with, you know, the fast travel. You get to do the classic Assassin's Creed game thing where you climb up the tower and then you synchronize. Except that this time actually helps your bird, like, locate resources around you. You know, your crafting resources. And also fast travel. But my favorite thing, it's not my favorite thing, but it's a tiny thing that made me really happy, was you have, like, a mount. Like a camel or a horse or eventually a war chariot, if you want to spend the skill points on that.
Wow.
To be able to, yeah, I know, yeah.
you can imagine just running around the streets.
Yeah. But you hold the A button or the X button to have the horse or camel or war chariot, I'm just going to stick with horse from now on, to have the horse follow the road. And while the horse is following the road, like you can go up and take the perspective of Senu, the bird, and like actually look around while your guy is still going along the road And so it allows you to kind of think faster and like right. plan ahead and stuff. But that's just a tiny thing that I like. I don't know. But overall, I would say it is another Assassin's Creed game, but they stripped it down and they rebuilt it to where it's kind of a new game.
Right.
It's more exciting than Syndicate ever could have been.
Yeah.
Because Syndicate was just like, it's the same exact game, but here's like a claw that allows you to travel up right. buildings yeah. immediately.
You're Batman.
Woo! But the story of Bayek, the Magi, which right. the Magi has been equated to like an Egyptian like sheriff or police officer, basically a peacekeeper. It's a pretty good story.
Yeah.
And I can see the direction they're taking, which the title is called Assassin's Creed Origins. And I'm pretty sure, and this isn't a spoiler or anything, it's just my own idea, is that they're going to be birthing the Assassins versus Templar War in this particular
okay.
place and time.
Yeah.
And you're the protagonist doing this. Because, you know, like for the first 4 hours, I didn't even have the hidden blade. And then I get it. And I'm like, oh, wow. I can see where this is going.
Yeah.
And there's like a group of people that you're hunting down. And they think that they're in the right. And you think that you're in the right. And the story's evolving quite nicely.
Is there any of the future stuff?
Yeah. Or, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you eventually wake up and you're in this cave. And this woman has, like, she's been using a portable animus. Like, she's actually connected to Bayek the Magi's mummy.
Okay.
Via some cables. And I'm not really sure how it works yet. Like, you get there.
No.
And they're like, make sure to take medicine. Like, I don't know how much of this is going to come into contact with the actual game. But they're like, make sure you take medicine because if you spend too long on the animus, there will be side effects. And I'm really hoping that's not a thing. Because if they're yeah. making you come back to the quote unquote real
X
world.
To take medicine.
Yeah. I'm going to be really pissed about that. Like, I can see like what they've been doing for the past 10 years or so. Where it's like you just completed chapter 4 and then you get taken to the animus and you get a little who gives a shit storyline, you know? which, as long as it really doesn't interfere that much, that's okay. But
right.
at the moment, I was just annoyed because like you get taken out of the Assassin's Creed thing.
Do you see it coming? Or is it kind of like, oh, what the fuck?
I did not see it coming. Yeah. It's like, you've completed chapter 1. And I was like, all right, let's go kill some. What the fuck?
It's all like,
yeah, I
was just
I hated
like,
it when
oh,
they did that.
Oh, not again. Like, come on. I was hoping you'd be done with this.
But still in the future.
But again, I've only played up to where they force you to come back once.
Okay.
So, and I've played a good like 4 to 6 hours.
Yeah.
Give or take. And there's a lot of stuff to do. It's the ultimate, like, ooh, a piece of candy. Ooh, a piece of candy game. Because, like, you'll yeah. be running around and be like, oh, a question mark over there, like in The Witcher 3. I'm going to go check that out. But the interesting thing is that since there's a level to your character, there's also right. levels to the quests that you can do
yeah.
and the enemies in the world. And this translates into difficulty because sometimes you'll come across a bandit camp and these motherfuckers just have, like, red skulls above their heads. And you don't even want to try.
Don't even go.
Yeah, like you go do a stealth attack and it takes off like a smidgen of health. Like a tiny little piece of health. They're like, what the fuck, bro? Like, like, please don't hurt me. You know,
scratching with your fingernail.
Yeah, hey, I'm going to get you. No? Okay.
Walk away.
Yeah, it's definitely an Assassin's Creed game, but bigger and better.
Yeah.
Yeah. They took the good things. And they got rid of most of the shitty things. The animus I could do without. But, you know.
Right.
We'll
almost
yeah,
everything
that,
that was yeah. bad. Yeah.
yeah.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, I'm definitely going to pick it up and try it because I miss Assassin's Creed. And I haven't played any of them except, I mean, I never played Syndicate. I have Syndicate. I never played it. Mm-hmm. I never played Unity. And last one I played was actually Black Flag. So
Black Flag
it's
was a
been
terrific
a while.
Game.
Yeah.
Like they knocked it out of the park with that one.
Yeah. So I'm hoping it's this is what I want. And it's been reviewing really well. Like people say
yeah.
they said the world like the different towns you go to and stuff like that are so different in culture and like religion and
yeah.
like there's so many
yeah.
different things that you can experience in these different places, which sounds really awesome.
That's another part of the Assassin's Creed franchise that always appealed to me a little bit. I'm not a huge history buff.
Right.
But it's nice to be running around the streets of Alexandria and seeing like the great library and the lighthouse of Alexandria and all these
yeah.
things. I'm like, oh, that's the tomb of Alexander the Great. Wow, that's all well. That's probably cool. But at least this time, you don't have like some British dude telling you like in little messages, little history lessons.
Right, right.
Because sometimes those got a little old.
Yeah.
Just a bit cheeky.
Yeah.
Right. Man, I wasn't even going to pick this up, but since I got my new Blackout Yeti, it came with the Assassin's Creed.
Oh.
Yeah. So yeah. For $10 I got Assassin's Creed. I was that's a bargain. Yeah, I'm telling you.
That's
a bargain. Might as well.
Too shabby.
They had Watch Dogs too, and I was like, nah.
No, yeah, I played a little bit. It was okay, but the Origins is the better way to go. So,
yeah,
at this current point, dig, ditch, delay. How do you feel?
I'd say dig. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, it's a very good game.
Awesome. And Austin, we never actually talked about yours, but I think it's pretty clear it was a dig on Wolfenstein.
It is in my top three game of the year choices.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I think it's up there.
That's a dig.
Awesome. So last game we have to talk about here, this is the one that people have been waiting for ever since March when the Switch came out, which it's crazy to think that the Switch only came out in March of this year.
Wait, really?
Yeah. Oh. Isn't that crazy? Nuts.
Hot damn.
So Super Mario Odyssey has arrived. It's finally here and it's getting rave reviews. I've played probably 3 or 4 hours of this game so far.
Right.
Not a ton, but getting into it. Man, this is the first platformer I played since Super Mario 64. First Mario platformer. I played.
Yeah, right here. Me too.
Yeah,
me too.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Heck
yeah. Y'all didn't play Sunshine, any of the Galaxy games?
Nope.
No.
Hot fuck.
I know, we're terrible. I know, it's so bad.
It's so bad. They were very good.
I heard the Galaxy games were awesome.
Yeah.
So it's strange, because from what I've been hearing of people talking about this game, they said that this pays most homage to Super Mario 64.
Yes.
And I've seen that a lot as I've been playing it. I'm like, okay, I remember these moments and these things to do and stuff like that. And it's really good. But what I realized really quickly is that I'm not very good at platformers. I die a lot.
Damn, but right.
This game does such a good job at not, like, the difficulty. There's, like, one difficulty, you just go in there and you go. I mean, they have this assist mode thing that you can try that, like, kind of guides you where things are, but I didn't want to do that because I want to be a little punk.
I didn't even want to turn that on.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to be that guy.
Insulting.
Yeah. So, but I like that they, even though they don't have a difficulty setting in here, like, if you die a lot, they kind of, like, throw a few nudges at you. So, like, I die at this boss, like, 3 or 4 times. So they're like, if you give me 50 coins, I will sell you this extra heart pack. So you have 6 hearts as opposed to 3 hearts. And then that allowed me to get through that part. So
that was
kind of cool where they just send those little nudges through there. But man, like the worlds in here are really, really fascinating.
Oh,
and
boy, yeah.
Every single one, I've been to 3 of 4 of them, actually, technically. So I found a hidden spot that, like, teleported me to New Donk City for a brief period of time, which is really awesome. And there's so much variety in how you approach this game. Like, you have, you know, every person you take control of has a different, like, you can throw your hat on somebody and take control of a T-Rex. You can take control of, like, a little totem guy that wears shades that reveals, like, hidden pathways that you wouldn't normally see. And you can take control of, you know, the dog things that are chained up that come and attack you. What are those things called?
Chomps.
The chomps. There we go. The chomps. You can take control of them and, like, run them around. Like, everything you can take control of. And it's so simple and seamless.
But clever.
I love it. And
it's clever. Like, they put it into, you know, of course, puzzles. Big part of the Mario games. Like, I really enjoy how you can throw Cappy, the hat, at a Goomba and then jump on another Goomba.
And stack them. And
stack Goombas in order to reach a moon, which...
Yeah,
you know, it's great, you know.
Which, let me tell you how many times I had to do that freaking thing. I kept like jumping, and then, like, the when you there's these things that you hit, they're like floating things, and when you throw your cap at them, it causes rings to pop out, you know, and you have to jump over the ring. So when you're in the stack of Goombas, like, they don't jump as high as, like, you have less control of the Goomba's direction than you do with Mario. So, like, these rings are coming at me and I'm trying to jump over and I'm just like, fuck, they keep dropping off. It's like, I had a stack of 10, now I have a stack of 3, and I just jump off the edge and, like, start over and just do that little number. It was crazy. But
so the short time that I played, which is about 30 minutes, everything just feels so grand. Like, I just love that personality that Mario has for this game.
Oh, yeah.
And yes, it's very similar to 64, but, you know, it's obviously much better. Now, much more refined.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, story-wise, you know, what I realize with Mario is it's not as much about the story as it is just this is a gameplay game. Like, this is where it's what it's all about. And the world building. I mean, like, you just run around, you collect coins, and you find power moons, and which replace the stars. But finding these moons, which is what you need in order to unlock, you basically find moons in the world to allow you to level up your Odyssey, so you can then have enough moon fuel to travel to the next place and chase after Bowser. And finding these moons, I just want to like stay inside of these worlds and just find all of them. Cause I'm like, I see one over in the distance. I don't know how to get there. And I want to figure it out and like make it happen. Some of them are just like right next to you and they're right there. But then you see a few more that are just scattered in these little mini game areas. And like, it's just, I want to explore and discover things. I never thought I'd say that. Really? Isn't that crazy?
That's not a Brett thing.
I know. It's not a Brett thing at all. But I was riding around with a little guy and went into this little thing, and then it ended up in this like mini game that was underneath the ground that I didn't realize I was going to find, and freaking died on there like five times. But it was so cool. It was just...
Oh, yeah. I think I know what you're talking about. Was it with the bullets?
Yes.
Yeah.
Those.
Those bullets are...
I was dying a lot. But it's a lot of fun. There's just a lot of character and a lot of... just charm to this game that a lot of games don't have.
First half hour I was playing it, I was just laughing in delight because of every little tiny thing. I was like, oh, that's so clever. Look at that. That's great. And then, oh, this makes so much sense. You know, and I enjoyed the motion controls of the game, but sometimes they get in the way because the game recommends that you play with two Joy-Cons, one in each hand.
Yeah.
And you can interact with the world in certain ways depending on the motion controls, and I feel like they might lean a little bit too heavily into the motion controls.
Yeah,
just because, like, you know, you can tilt both controls upwards to throw your hat straight up, or you can tilt them down to throw it straight downwards, or you can, you know, go to the left with both of them and he'll throw them to the left and like a big circle, or to the right and he'll throw it in a big circle over to the right, and it all feels good, but sometimes you're excited and you just kind of like...
You accidentally do it.
And then like, that's not what you wanted to do.
Right.
Like, you have to be like slow-ish, like, ha, instead of like, ha, 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 ha.
Right.
You know? And maybe that's my fault, like my ADD and shit, but sometimes it does get in the way of me not getting hit by a very harmless enemy that I should have avoided.
Yeah.
Very easily.
Yes. Oh, that happens to me all the time, because I'll like go into the roll to like move faster across the land, and I start like flicking my wrist to make myself go faster.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I like hit a hill that changes my direction. And it's like dart downward and like boiling hot lava or whatever.
You just gotta
like
let go, because
that wasn't supposed to happen. Thing. Yeah.
But I really enjoy how, as Mario, you can, if you're accurate enough, do some pretty amazing things.
Like, oh, yeah.
Like, my favorite thing to do is start running and then crouch and then go into a long jump and then throw the hat and then crouch and then dive and then hit the hat. And like, that is a super jump. Like, that
Holy
is
crap.
Distance. Have you done this yet?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. Yeah. You long jump, throw the hat, jump off the hat. And then like, you have to dive towards the hat and then he bounces off the hat and that's some extra reach. So if there's somewhere you can't reach,
yeah,
then you can get there. But I think the issue is like, you don't really need to a lot, because the if the game wants you to get somewhere, they're not going to make you resort to witchcraft.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Too late.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm going to sorcel at that moon, but I'm not necessarily, I don't need to.
Well, maybe by being able to chain those combos together like you do, you'll be able to get to places that you normally won't be able to get to until later.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh my gosh, like this just happened.
Yeah.
It's really cool. But I love that, like, whenever you're traveling from like world to world, you're sitting down there and they remind you about move sets that you can do, and they remind you about things that you can look forward to in the next space. And then this game has a map, which I'm not used to a map being in Mario, or not remembering that or whatever, but I like how you pop it open and every world you go to has like stuff you can read about that world and like what the locals are like, and these little hints at things you can do, and that's just a nice little added benefit to get some story bits in there, and also some, you know, some tidbits that you wouldn't know otherwise, like the Jaxi. Like, when I didn't realize that those things you could ride, and then I pull up my map and they're talking about. I was like, oh, I gotta go find those guys.
Yeah, you gotta find him and then pay him like, what is it, 30 coins?
30 coins, and then you can
you just
ride.
Go to an outpost and yeah, he's always there. I don't really like the constant hints. Like you're going to another world and they're like, hey, did you remember how to ground pound? Have you heard about this thing? Ground pound? And I'm like, yeah, you told me to look at the trick manual. And I looked at the trick manual and I got everything and I'm good. But you keep telling me how to do these tiny moves that I very well know how to do. You know, like I know there's not a way to turn that off, but I would if I could.
Yeah.
Like I didn't choose assist mode. For a reason, okay? Trying to sound as pretentious
I'm not
as
a pleb here, okay? Yeah.
But I know they did that for some players that do need it, and that's...
Younger people
fantastic.
Or me.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm talking, you know, like old people, like grandparents that maybe don't play video games as much. Or
like Brett. So old.
I remember back in my day. You know, let me tell you.
Games came with guides in the booklet.
They did. I remember Mario has the nice yellow cover.
Wasn't that just
a
nice feeling though? Like you open up the game and there's like this little booklet you get to look through, and now it's just like
pictures.
If you want a booklet, go online. Shit.
Now it's a 30-day warrant. It's a limited warranty or whatever pamphlet. Yeah.
Stupid.
So crazy.
Personal rant of mine.
But Super Mario Odyssey, definitely a dig. It is a very, very good game. I hated it when I first started playing because I was like, this is so hard. But now that I'm getting into the mechanics and like understanding
right, what's wrong with you?
I know. I'm just a terrible gamer, obviously. But I'm very satisfied with it now. And I'm finally understanding the cool. mechanics I need to understand.
Catch your groove.
It's, yeah, catch I got my groove.
All right.
Word. I'm going to keep playing.
You want to watch that launch trailer before that came out recently?
Yeah, the one that kind of walked through like everything you could do. It was like 6 minutes long or whatever.
No. Oh. It was a trailer. So it was like a show tunes thing where like it was live action. Yeah. Everyone was dancing and stuff.
For what?
Mario.
For Mario?
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Oh, it's amazing.
It. Oh, really?
It's awesome. Just,
they have,
it's cute.
They have on the inside of the Super Mario Odyssey, like, hard copy case. There's like song lyrics. Was that it?
I don't know.
Maybe. What did it say?
Well, I didn't really look at it that long because I was like, I guess I'm going
I was like, I want to play.
I'm going to be hearing this song, so I'm not going to look it up and be like, oh, so that's what she meant by starlight in her eyes. Yeah. It all makes sense with the, you know, the ensemble and now that I'm seeing it, but when I was reading the lyrics, I was profoundly just combobulated.
Combobulated.
It's good.
It's very good.
It's good.
It's good. Well, that's going to wrap it up for our video games this week. There's quite a bit. I'm sure we'll return next week with some more follow-ups to these three games we talked about. Stay tuned. We'll be right back for our video game news. We got a lot of good stuff to share with you. So we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Tick tock, it's time for our gaming news. In this segment, we share the best headlines from the week in the gaming industry.
And first up, we have...
Brett, don't do it.
The Kinect. Devin's listening right now. He's like,
he's like, Brett.
Damn it. The Kinect. You guys remember the Kinect? That thing that came out with the Xbox 360, and they were like, hey,
I know what you're talking
about. Set this up on your TV.
What are you talking about?
You can do motion controls, and they bundled it with the Xbox One when it came out.
No idea.
I remember the Kinect. I see that piece of shit every day.
Yeah.
And it listens to me. Never.
Well, it's dead now.
Thank God.
They killed it?
It has died. They've officially stopped production of the Kinect.
Thank goodness.
They've given up. They're just like...
I wouldn't
like,
say it's dead, but dying on the vine, absolutely.
Yes.
Like it's got some, it's clinging to shreds of life.
Remember, they're like, it's going to be on all the time, and your Xbox got to be connected to the internet all the time.
Yeah, no, I have to unplug my Kinect like literally anytime I want to use it and then plug it back in because it just disconnects itself.
Yeah.
So I'll yell at my Xbox, hey, Cortana! Hey, Cortana! Cortana! Hey, fuck it. You know, every day. Okay, maybe not every day because I learn. I'm not a stupid idiot. But I no longer hold out hope that it will work.
Right. Yeah, it was one of those things that had such cool like, I feel like it was a transitional point. Like, this is a thing that had promise. They got a lot of Like the tech that they developed for it is now being used by other things. Like the tech that they design is now being used by drones to map out spaces. So they were able to use this same technology.
Oh, they actually made it work, huh?
Yeah, yeah. So they have a little drone thing that you can like drop in and it'll like go through and like
if gamers don't want it, the military will.
somebody will make use of it.
Well, goodbye and good riddance. You know, I personally have this theory that Microsoft is so behind on the whole VR technology, whereas everybody else is, you know, at pace with each other.
Right.
And I think Microsoft is behind because they wasted time on the Kinect.
Probably.
It's like an RTS game where you develop resources to building a building, you know, where researching a new technology. Well, they were off researching VR, and then Microsoft was in the fucking Stone Ages with Kinect.
Well, they're trying to do some kind of AR type thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Virtual AR.
Augmented.
Augmented reality.
I remember when they came out with the Kinect, and they're like, look, you'll be able to talk to your little fake puppy dog that will respond to you. And I was like, that's kind of cool. I was like, man, the future is here.
And then here, what happens? And then the new iPhone comes out. It's like, guess what? You can animate your face as a dog. Yeah. And emojis.
Oh, boy.
Which are being sued by a company in China, I think.
What is wrong with... What happened to the future?
I don't want to be in the future anymore.
Yeah. Future is bleak. So speaking of the future, Star Wars Battlefront 2 comes out next month in the future. And they have said that the story campaign is going to take 5 to 7 hours to complete. When this was announced, there was some positive and negative things. Some people say that this is fine because I want it to be good and I want it to like not be full of fluff. Then other people were like, this is bullshit. It's only 7 hours of a single player game I've been waiting for so long.
Well, I mean,
how do you guys feel?
This game is literally Battlefield but with a Star Wars skin.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Yeah.
But Battlefield, all of their games were only like 5 to 7 hours of the campaign.
Usually they're not very good, except for Battlefield 1 is good.
Battlefield 1 was, it had a very good campaign, but at the end of it, I was like, that's it?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess I will play the multiplayer. It's the same thing, you know. I think it's a little bit more exciting because now it's a, you know, Star Wars story. You know, it's like the events almost directly after the Emperor is killed.
Right.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Who knows where that will take us?
I understand it's a multiplayer based game, basically. But at the same time, it's like, you only put 5 to 7 hours of gameplay in here for a single player. Like, how good can it actually be? Like, what story are you actually going to tell? I mean, obviously, you can tell a story in 5 to 7 hours, but it's just like, it's going to be just like a Call of Duty thing, you know? Those things are super short. I don't know. I'm a little upset.
If you think about it, if you look just from another perspective, if you look at the first three Star Wars trilogy movies, they were 8 hours total.
Those are movies, Brett.
I know.
Not a video game, Brett.
It's different.
I'm saying, you know, it's possible. It's possible.
Wolfenstein, New Colossus. Amazing.
I know. No, I know.
Not
I
five mean, to 7 hours.
I hope
five to 7 hours is the intro.
I hope it's 5 to 7 hours of really good awesomeness all the way through. And I'm okay if this is a game that if they had made it longer, there was going to be just additional fluff in there. Like, if the story is satisfying and like I get to the end of it, I'm like, damn, that was a good story.
Yeah.
Well, there's fluff in your story. It's because you have huge plot holes or something.
You haven't developed the story enough.
Yeah, you're like, we just need 20 hours of gameplay. Just throw some shit in there. It's fine.
Yeah, fluff it up. Yeah, the boss says we need 20 more hours. So fluff it up.
Get fluffy. Get fluffy.
I do hope it's just short and sweet. But
yeah,
I wasn't really expecting much from the go.
But we'll see. So end of November, November 17th, I believe, is the day that this is coming out. So be on the lookout because that's going to be like our last big game we have for the rest of the year pretty much. So it's got a lot to live up to. A lot.
People are already hating on it.
Yeah.
The multiplayer already.
But the Switch, we've been talking about that quite a bit. You probably heard our Super Mario Odyssey discussion stuff. Mm. Well, the last update that came out, version 4 of the Switch update, secretly threw in GameCube controller support. So if you have some GameCube controllers lying around and you happen to have a Wii U adapter lying around, you can plug in up to 4 GameCube controllers to your Switch.
Cool.
Could be cool.
Yeah.
You know, it would really be great if they came out with the Super Smash Brothers game so that I could use that GameCube controller.
Oh, right. People were wondering like if this is like a hint at that coming, but I feel like if they were going to do that, why not just make controllers for it that make people happy with the, I don't know, I don't know. I feel like at some point we're going to see them come out with a mid-range controller that is like a pro controller, but not as expensive as a pro controller. Mm-hmm. That would be something for Smash players and stuff like that.
I don't see it. They have to have the motion controls in there. That's why it's so expensive.
That's true. Yeah.
Like that's motion the whole point of
wireless
Switch.
Stuff.
Yeah. They're really hard up on that, those motion controls.
Yeah.
Just
we'll
saying.
See. But now if you have GameCube controllers. There you go. You're set up. You can play four player, and it's pretty awesome.
I'm not gonna lie. If they came out with a new GameCube controller, I might buy it.
Yeah, like the WaveBird 2.0 or something.
Yeah, I'd get it. I mean,
wireless,
cool. Be just different.
Yeah, that could be nice.
Right.
Yeah.
Skins, motion control.
Well, carrying through with the Nintendo conversation, Animal Crossing. Did you guys ever play that? Animal Crossing stuff.
Yeah, great.
Not die.
I never did. I know Louise is a big fan of it, so I'm sure he's gonna be looking forward to this. But Animal Crossing is the next game that's coming out to iOS and Android from Nintendo. So they just recently got on the Nintendo market with Super Mario Run, or the mobile market, and this is their next one, Animal Crossing Pocket Camp.
So is this gonna be like Mario Run, where it's just kind of a whatever game, but with the Animal Crossing name on it? To where people are going to buy it because of Animal Crossing. Like Super Mario Run, I didn't really play a lot of it. It wasn't very exciting.
Yeah.
Just tap to jump.
Right. It was very, very simple. This one is definitely scaled down from Animal Crossing. Now, I never played Animal Crossing, so I don't know exactly how it is. But from what I understand, it's kind of like you like manage things.
Yeah, it's kind of like Harvest Moon. You know, you collect stuff.
Yeah, like Stardew Valley,
like
Harvest Moon,
pickaxes
and
hoes and stuff. And then you have a house where you basically place furniture in a specific way to make a feng shui thing. Like there were actually maps that you would look up to see what the best feng shui was, and it was all based on the Gregorian calendar year. You know,
okay.
You'd have like it's October right now. You know, you'd have Halloween stuff going on, and then the game would switch, to Thanksgiving stuff in November and then Christmas stuff in the fall. And then my birthday came after that. But of course, I have to wonder, like on the GameCube Animal Crossing, what I would always do was change the time on my GameCube so that it was always my birthday or Christmas. Like on your birthday, you'd get 10,000 gold or whatever the currency was. And so I'd just be like, yay, it's my birthday, system settings. Yay, it's my birthday, system settings. And I doubt you'll be able to do that sort of thing with an iOS.
No, definitely not. Yeah.
But I also don't think it would be very hard for them to put the original Animal Crossing game on iOS. I mean, I've got Knights of the Old Republic on my iPad.
Right.
So that's, I don't know what the tech specs are. I'm not a tech guy, or which one is more complicated.
It could support it for sure. But this is a scaled down version of Animal Crossing. Basically, you're customizing you customize your character, your living area, which is an RV camper. So you have a camper that you're customizing. Cool. You have a little campground, and you can lay out furniture, themed items across the campground setting. There's a real time day night cycle. You have the ability to visit shops run by the game cast to get new clothing and furniture to customize your space. And you can also go into debt. So there's a lot of stuff you can spend things on.
So we're talking hella microtransactions here.
Yeah, I think we're going to have a little bit of microtransactions. It's a free game. So you don't pay anything to download it. And you can purchase upgrades that expand your RV's interior and allows you to trick out your camper, make it cooler, fancier. But it's definitely going to have some microtransactions. There is going to be... you get leaf tickets, that's the currency, which can be earned through regular gameplay or purchased using real-world money. They can be used to shorten the time needed to craft items.
I'm already not playing this game.
And then easily acquire materials or acquire unique camper exterior designs. So, yeah, it's a freemium game like you'd expect with Animal Crossing attached to it.
Right, right.
Yeah. Okay. Terrific.
So, yeah. There you go. It's everything you've wanted.
All in one bundle of happy and joyous.
Hey, at least it's free at first.
We're happy
first,
for you.
But then you get the itch.
Oh, yeah.
And they say, here, we're going to give you 200 leaf things. This will start you off, but you're going to have to pay for the next one, buddy. And those people, they're called pushers. Watch out for pushers. Yeah. Don't do drugs.
You should ban them.
Freaking bastards.
Ban them.
Crazy. So back in 2011, this game that came out called L.A. Noir, published by Rockstar Games.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
The jams right there.
So this game was huge because it was, they were big on the whole tech that they had where they did facial animation stuff to where the mouths of the characters were like on point with the real right. life thing. And there's like some crazy technology that they developed and it was blowing people's minds.
Yeah.
Well, Rockstar has decided to bring, now this is also going to be interesting because this is the first time that Rockstar has brought a game to a Nintendo platform. Mm-hmm. But LA Noir is being re-released, remastered for not just the Switch, but also the PlayStation 4 and your Xbox One in 4K.
Oh my.
Coming this November 14th, 3 days before Battlefront. So that's crazy.
I don't know. Who asked for that? Who asked for this?
We get a lot of that though, you know?
Like I remember playing this game. I thought it was really fun. But at the same time, I'm like, you know what? I don't know. Like I heard that some of these systems were actually kind of crude. At the time it was great. LA Noir, like
yeah,
awesome. Like the you know, talking to people and trying to figure out if they're lying or not type thing. Like
yeah.
I thought that was really cool, but now like I feel like there's some, I don't know.
I doubt I'm gonna buy it because they literally gave me that game. Microsoft gave me that game for free 1 month with Games with Gold. For the 360 though, and it's backwards compatible.
Oh.
So why am I going to be buying this? Because it's 4K? Do I really have that much of a boner for graphics?
Right.
Dude.
Oh, dude.
4K.
Like, okay, I'm gonna buy this game so I can start up the original game and then I'm gonna start up the new game and be like, whoa, it's so much better. You know.
Why does it feel so old?
Yeah. Although I did read that 7 of the missions were repurposed for VR on a maybe the HTC Vibe.
Really?
So yes, LA Noir in VR could be cool.
Right.
But maybe don't just resell me the whole original game.
Right.
With no VR, but just better graphics.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. Just if you free. Missed it, make maybe. It, you know, it's something you can go back to. Be like, all right, well.
Don't go back now because there's so much out right
now.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah. The timing could be better, I feel like. I feel like this could have been something that came out.
Yeah, released in the summer.
Of next year.
Yeah, if they waited until the lean months.
Yeah, because it was a great game, but we'll see. I would maybe consider it because I did like that game and it was fun, but I don't know if I'd want to play the entire thing over again because it didn't have much replayability.
No.
Like, no, it doesn't.
You played it and it was cool and it was fun to solve the puzzles and stuff, but That was it.
Yeah, once you've solved the puzzles in that game, you know which questions you need to ask and which ones will get the desired outcome.
Yeah.
You know, where you get the actual killer
exactly.
or the perpetrator of the crime, and it's not always a murder. But I just don't, yeah. I mean, I might game fly it to see the graphic difference. But, I mean, that'll have to be after I beat Persona. And I still have many, many hours. Since I put that down earlier this year.
Cool.
I will be back.
You will be back.
So, next up. If you don't know, Destiny 2 came out on the PC this last Tuesday. And it's already...
Oh, snap!
It's already hitting some lulls. People are getting really? Banned randomly. And I heard it was for using Discord and other services, such as other streaming services.
Chat
XSplit and
really?
OBS. Yeah. So stupid. And... apparently, if you go and read the banning, information, you can't really dispute it.
Oh,
so
really?
If you get banned, if you pay $60 for this game and you get banned because you're using a chat system, like, what kind of bullshit is that?
How does that work? Do you have to create a new,
I don't know. I guess you create a new,
What do you do? Is that
exactly.
Steam thing? Or, I don't have a PC.
Well, it's on the Blizzard app.
So the Blizzard, so you just have to create a new Blizzard.
So there's two bans. Yeah. There's an account ban and there's a system ban.
Gosh, that just sounds hardcore.
Yeah, yeah. So apparently Bungie said there was nothing, like no one was being banned unfairly, but then they came out and said that, that they looked at it again and there's a certain, there is a group of people who got banned unfairly and apparently they've unbanned them.
So that would be like playing an Xbox and being banned for using the Xbox party chat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is incredible.
Right.
Wow. Yeah.
How, what kind of oversight is that? It doesn't make sense to me. And it's just like,
it's red long.
It's like, so I sold my Destiny back already. I'm not going to play anymore.
Yeah,
like,
I don't blame you.
80 hours in that easily. And yeah,
what,
I was.
PlayStation 1?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, it probably like 50. It probably wasn't 80.
Brett wasn't done with it.
I guess I'm going to get on PC and play with other
exactly.
people.
Well, I was going to get
and
on
then
PC.
Then get banned.
Yeah, exactly. Banned. It's like, what the fuck? You can't stream it and you can't talk to your friends. So
Wow. There
you go.
Is there an in-game like chat client?
No.
No.
That's the thing. It's like they haven't
game
chat? Well, it's
no,
weird
I think they do.
Because Playsta- no
yeah,
it doesn't.
PlayStation had.
Well, PlayStation
PC.
Did. PC doesn't though. Oh. You have to use a third party to do it. That's what that's
wow.
what Josh
Bad.
Was talking about because
oh,
you know
that's funny.
If you look at like Destiny itself, there's that in-game chat thingy like when you're in a fire team or whatever, but this one doesn't seem to have one unless you're part of like a Discord or something like that because it's
Which
it seems like
bad.
It's literally a port of the like for example, you know how like when you're playing on console, you go up to something and press and hold to unlock something or to dismantle an item or to do anything in the menus. Well, that's due to the fact that you're using a controller and the system's different. Well, with mouse and keyboard, like it's super precise, right? I mean, like you move your mouse to where you want, you click and it's going to be what you want. Well, you still have to click and hold on everything, which is the same exact concept from the console.
Yeah.
So those kinds of things they should have probably put some more consideration into because I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And I just want to go up and click on something and make it happen because I have a mouse and I know what I'm clicking on.
But, right? what if you accidentally click on an exotic item that you just got and you're like, oh, well, I really wish I had to have held that button because now it's gone. And
that's
you
okay.
Just burned it accidentally. Is it okay?
Control Z, man. Control Z undo.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, I don't know if that would exist, but that would be interesting.
Anyway, I thought that was a lot of bullshit. Like,
yeah.
I could only
it's
imagine.
Crazy.
And then it's hard to get unbanned. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you can get unbanned at all, anyway.
Hopefully they'll fix it.
Yeah.
I mean, soon and figure that out because that's a big market for them. If they can get the PC players on their side, that's something that they've never.
It's like it's
had happened yet. Yeah.
What a bunch of jabronis.
And I have a coworker that started playing it and he's really enjoyed it so far on PC. So it's not all bad. It's just that was bad. But more kind of bad. We have I'm going to let Charlie actually say his name because I don't want to butcher it. But
oh, yeah. Robert Guillaume.
Guillaume. Yeah. There we go. Robert Guillaume is the voice actor for Eli Vance from Half-Life 2, and he has passed away at age 89.
Rest in peace, man.
Rest in peace.
No. So
I saw that, and I was like, that's really sad, because he had such a good voice. He's kind of like the Morgan Freeman of Half-Life 2 in a way. He's got that voice and sound that really is cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. That was...
He was
that
also
was
another.
Thing.
I'm pretty sure he's been in television.
He's been in a bunch of
movies.
Stuff. He was
yeah.
in like The Lion King 3D or whatever, and he was in a lot of things. He's not just known for this, but like in the gamer world, this was his like one of his things. So
oh yeah, great performance, you know.
Yeah, it was very good. So
sad passing, indeed.
Very sad, but that's gonna wrap up our news for this week. If there's something that we missed, we want to hear from you. Email us at hello@theinnergamer.net, and we will talk about it next week. We will be right back after the break with our discussion topic on things that scare us.
Spooky.
So spooky.
Mostly video games that scare us.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
This week, our discussion topic is going to be on how video games scare us, because it is Halloween. And actually, if you're watching this on YouTube, it is 2 days after Halloween. But either way, Halloween was this week, and we figured what better way to than talk about, you know, some really cool scary games.
Yeah.
So let's jump into it. We're basically going to go through the whole look at our favorite scary games of the past. It doesn't matter when they came out. It could have been back in 1989. It could have been
today. Or how good
today.
They were technically.
Yeah.
Or industry standards.
How good they were technically. Yeah, exactly. But there's been a lot of shifting in horror games over the years. They've gotten better and more diverse in the way that they scare us. So we figured, hey, let's talk about it. So I'm going to jump into my first one, and then we'll just kind of like roll around the table here and see what we got to talk about. I think this is probably one that most people have really high in their list, but Fear, the game Fear.
Yes.
Fear.
Which was an acronym, which I thought was interesting. But Fear is a first-person shooter game that came out a long time ago, and it scared me shitless.
Yeah, it's a freaky game.
I was so scared.
Did you play it with the lights off?
No, I couldn't do it. I never even finished it because I was like, this is too scary for me. Like, what was her name? Alma?
Anna. Alma.
Alma?
Yeah.
She was like, there was a part where I was walking down a catwalk and then it was dark, right? And I was like, oh my gosh, it's so scary. I'm walking on a catwalk. I'm making like creaky noises and stuff like that. What is going to happen? And then it's in first person. So as you walk to the catwalk and you get onto the ladder, your character turns around and like to go down the ladder, and I turn around and holy shit, she's right there. She's like, yeah, it was scary. Yeah. She didn't make noises. She was just there.
Right.
And I like literally had tingles all up my body everywhere. I was losing my shit. It was so bad.
Me and Travis would play that in the dark. It was just me and him, and we'd freak them. I was with somebody and it was scary. Like,
yeah,
I've never played a game like that before. And Fear starts. Is for first encounter assault recon.
There we go. Yeah.
So
you're like super squad people that, you know, full of gear and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then there's this crazy little girl that counter basically wants to destroy you. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Did you play this, Charlie?
Long time ago. And I don't have any really concrete memories of it.
Right.
Just, you know, flashes of images.
No, it was scary. that game was like big on the jump scare thing.
Yeah.
Like that was that and like atmospheric horror was the like the two big things with it. And they had that ability where you could like slow down time, and
that was
really awesome to like do that because that was just like super revolutionary technology back then. But it gives me nightmares. And then there was I played the demo of Fear 2 and never got past the demo because it was so freaky. But I remember walking through like I think it was a hospital, and there was like flashes of light. And you just see like blood everywhere. And there was like these noises. There was something in the room, but I didn't know where that something was.
And then you were done.
And then I was like, no, I can't. I'm
too
out.
Too spoopy
I'm
for done. Me.
Couldn't do it. But man, that was a pretty good game. So
right on, man.
Yeah. So Austin, what do you got? What
are P.T.
What's that?
P.T. I've never heard.
It's acronym for playable trailer.
Yeah.
Which is for Silent Hills, which was going to be a really awesome game by Guillermo del Toro and Hideo Kojima. But it was canceled due to Konami being a fucking dicktard. And it's like I think it's like a 15-minute playable teaser. And you run around the room several times and there's like little... I guess it's kind of puzzles, but like certain things happen the more you play it and you start to kind of put together this mini story, I guess, or something like that. I don't know.
I didn't get very far. It was just like leading up to this thing where like you were like, okay, I know what's going to happen. But then there was one subtle difference as you like walk through this hallway, you get to the next, you walk through the door and then you're back in the same hallway where there's a subtle little change to something there.
There's a story in there because people have done like,
yeah, that's
major
true. They,
analysis
like, slowed
of
slowed it down and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's that one part where, you know, if you did it the right way and played it correctly, you would unlock the trailer for the game.
Right.
And I never did that. I just would wake up and the cockroach was like right next to me crawling by my face. It's like, fuck this.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Really well done. The fetus, the baby in the sink.
Remember that? Man, yes.
That sounds pretty scary.
Oh, it was so bad. It was gross. It was super gross.
You walk into the bathroom, there's a fetus, and the door closes, and you're like, what the fuck? And then you're looking around, there's cockroaches, and you're like, I don't want to go back out in this hallway. You're just going to stay in this, the rest of this trailer.
It's like, are they out there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Who's coming? I don't know what's coming, but something's coming. I'm going to shit my pants.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
Anyway.
It's good that it got you that way, though.
That's true. That's true.
That's
no,
the
it
point.
Was, it was, I was glad because this was, we were having a Destiny gathering. This is back when the mm-hmm. first Destiny was out, and me and Austin Travis were there, and that was when I was playing it. So I was glad that there was people there because uh-huh. otherwise yeah, I would have been freaking out
that,
more.
Yeah, it's another game I played with people there, and I was like, I don't want to play this right now.
Yeah.
This is too freaky.
Yeah. It's Charlie.
Oh, man. You know, I think back to when I was in college, and we would all gather around my friend Wyatt's PC and play Slender.
Slender.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's based on the whole Slenderman
right.
theory, you know, the whole scary thing. And you just walk around these creepy ass woods. It's this PC game, like the graphics aren't the best in the world.
Right.
I'm pretty sure it's an indie game, you know.
Yeah.
And you look for these 8 pieces of notebook paper with some little message on it that's always scary. But every now and then the Slenderman will come and try to get you. And it just the randomness of it. And we'd all play it with the lights off and, you know, one person playing, you know, and everybody just being like, no, don't do it.
Don't go there.
You know, and then the you know, reveal where he jumps up at you and everyone's like, ah, you know.
So it was set up to where it was, you just didn't know where he was going to jump out, right?
Yeah. Like you could sometimes
jump scare
see him
thing.
Far away.
Yeah.
Be like, okay, so stay the fuck away from that area. That area for now is just off limits. But he kind of also just jumps around. So it wasn't always perfect.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I played some of the sequels and, oh, yeah. It's,
yeah. Oof. Yeah.
It's, get you.
It's just an easy scare-em game, you know. But it was enjoyable, especially when with a group of friends, just to see their reactions, you know, and try not to, you know, act all manly yourself, you know, like, oh, that wasn't scary. And you're really peeing your pants.
You're crying inside.
Yeah. Did you guys ever, so how often do you tend to play these scary games with your friends versus solo? Like, do you make a point to, like, get together with people ever to play scary games?
It was
or
easier in college when a lot of us were
all
living in the same
together.
Area and living hanging together. You know, I wouldn't say I have a lot of friends in the area right now that would want to watch me play a scary game. I don't know.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Okay. You
know? Yeah. I don't know. I think it's communal, you know?
Yeah.
I dig it. I mean, you get to share some jump scares, an experience with a friend or some friends, and I think it just makes it better. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't get me off to be in my room by myself being like, oh, I'm so scared. Oh,
yeah.
Y'all, what's the next one going to come around? Ah!
All right. There we go. Yeah, I want to do that with scary games because I've realized What's interesting to me is I've gotten to the point where with movies, I don't really get scared that much. Like I can kind of anticipate kind of what they're going to do or what's going to happen. There's a few of them that still like freak me out quite a bit. The Conjuring freaked me out a little bit in places. And then like Orphan was pretty crazy. And there's a few here and there that were pretty freaky. But video games, like, yeah. Somehow, I guess because I'm controlling the character, like,
yeah, it's a huge
part. That scares
part.
Me shitless. Like,
right. Because in movies, sometimes you see it coming, you know? You know it's coming.
Right.
Especially being, you know, our age, you know?
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Seen it before.
Right.
Certain little tropes and themes that you're just like, oh, that character is laying down next to a doorway, and then they're just going to get sucked back. Like, I can see this is going to happen.
Right.
But when it's well executed, it's nice.
Exactly.
But what about your second game, Brett?
Yeah, my second game is Dead Space.
Ooh, that's
specifically,
good.
I want to go with Dead Space 2 because the first one was like super scary and freaky.
Yeah.
And it still saddens me that Visceral is not around anymore. They've been shut down because they made these things what they were. But
because of the overlords.
That was a game that did not... It didn't have a lot of high hopes. It just came out of nowhere. It was this new IP, this character on a space station, third person. Like, what is this game? But man, it was very, very creepy. And this was like atmospheric, psychological horror kind of stuff. But
oh yeah,
2 specifically hits me because I remember that one moment where you're going through the school on the space station, and there's like the little like alien things that were crawling around. like attacking you, and like you didn't know where they were gonna come. But there were these, I think that, I thought they were babies, but I don't think they're babies. But there was like little alien creatures that would scrawl around everywhere.
That were turned into, I think, necrophages. Is that the
That could be what it was. Yeah. But they made those strange noises, and just like, I remember a part where you were in like the little play. There was like a play area where like kids would probably have, you know, little theater plays with their family, and they would have a Broadway stage, and I'm on that stage, and these babies are coming after me, and I'm like trying to go backstage, but then realize there's no exit in the backstage that I can get away from these things.
It's exit stage death, Brett.
Exactly. Yeah. It should be like exit D, because it's exit death, and it's it was really bad. But that was just super good. But that was one of those games that I didn't want to stop playing it, even though I got freaked out a lot. I was just so engaged with
all that. I can admit that I didn't beat the first Dead Space for a while, because I did get just too scared.
Too super freaked out. Yeah.
There's so much of just like it's me that's making this happen. Like,
right.
And if I don't want to play it, then it's not gonna happen. Okay. So how about that?
Right? Yeah.
You know, like, I control my fear. You know.
I loved how in that game too that it was really unique with the way they did the UI, where it was like, you know, your health was on your back.
Yeah.
And then whenever you wanted to like go in your menus, it projected out from your chest or whatever. But you never could pause the game.
No.
So that put this fear in there. It's like, I gotta fix up my shit. And then all of a sudden, like, you hear something in the background, you're like, oh my God.
Hurry, heal.
Yeah. It was very good. Yeah. It was very good. So big fan. Austin, what's your number two?
Resident Evil 2.
Ooh, oh, yeah. I see what you did there.
Yeah. So I remember getting this. I had just gotten a PlayStation, and my dad's like, oh, this looks cool, you know. And I think it was around Halloween time. And so, like, we picked it up, and, you know, I put it on. I was like, oh, okay, cool, zombies and stuff, you know, get through it. But, like, as a child, playing Resident Evil 2 was
terrifying.
Very terrifying.
Yeah.
I don't think I got more than an hour into the game, maybe that. And I was like, you know what? We're just going to return this. That's it. Fine. Good.
Don't need the terror.
I was very global back then. I was like, oh, fucking zombies are going to come and get me.
Yeah.
It was scary. Like, I was literally terrified from this game for a little bit.
I think I was too. Yeah, absolutely. It's scary shit.
I mean, at that age, those zombies were like legit.
Yeah. And
What was the setting of Resident Evil 2? I never played Resident Evil.
Wasn't it the mansion?
Raccoon City.
Was it Raccoon City?
Mm-hmm. I could be wrong. Maybe
Raccoon City sounds about right.
It might have been Resident Evil 3.
I'm not a master of Resident
Evil.
Sure,
it's Resident Evil 2
and whatnot.
I didn't play it very long, so I could be wrong. I'm just saying.
You were just like, I couldn't handle this.
Yeah, I could. Like, no. I could not.
Moving on. Yeah. Moving on. Yeah, Resident Evil. So comparing that to because you played 7, Biohazard, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah. So. How does that compare? Did that freak you out?
Oh, scary? Yeah. They have a lot of jump scares. But I think the story for that and the characters like are a lot more developed than they were back then, obviously. Yeah. I mean, there were, you know, now they have this, you know, type of virus mutation thing that's not, you know, not the zombie, like the zombies as you know them. So it's a little different.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Awesome. Cool. Charlie, what do you got?
Say for my second game, definitely Alien Isolation.
Oh, like, I never played this for obvious reasons.
Oh yeah. No, it was pretty terrifying because, you know, half of the time you'd be sneaking around this dark and silent space station. Like, there's nothing like a silent space station to make you feel alone,
right?
You know, out in the empty void of space and all that. But you know, like, you start sneaking around these robot things. And they're not so terrifying, but eventually you encounter the alien and you spend some of your time like hiding in a cupboard while he like prowls the room and like he goes into another room. So you're like, okay, I need to move from here to here. And sometimes like he'll stop in front of your little cupboard or your closet and be like, you in there? I'm going to find you. Okay, I'm going to go over here. And then like you get out and then he'd be like, aha, I knew it. Like he'd turn around and you'd be like, fuck. And you just start running. And another thing about that game was I believe it had Kinect function ability to where if something made a room, like a noise in your room, like if my dog, for instance, would come as he did and just come barking, the alien would be like,
Oh, I hear shit. A dog.
Oh, that's
what
terrible.
Is that? Yeah, yeah. So you know, like someone, yeah. someone would text me and be like, "Bing," and be like, "Fuck, silent." You know.
Yeah.
And that was kind of cool, but you know, again, Kinect. What are you gonna do?
Yeah.
But it was gone. It was definitely still a pretty great game, and I still haven't actually beat that, just because the alien is kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
It's on God mode.
Yeah.
You know?
You think so?
Yeah. I'm going to come back to it.
The alien's the only enemy in there, isn't it? Or is there other stuff?
There's other enemies. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, right. People that attack you.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
The robots.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like the robots. Dudes.
Yeah.
The yeah, people, I got through some of it. And, you know, when the alien first reveals itself, I saw it coming. Like, it was just so obvious. I was like, come on. Come on.
Well, you want him to attack you? Is that what you're wanting?
That'd be nice. Like, you know,
come get me.
Unexpected or something. I don't know. Yeah. Hear a noise and there's some shadows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, what could that be? Could it be the title of the game?
It got a lot of good reviews, though. People really liked that game a lot.
Yeah, as a horror game, it was terrific. I'm just not always the best horror game player.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Same. Yeah, back to me. I have my last one. This one, it wasn't really... Well, I guess it was scary. In a different way. Left 4 Dead, 4-player cooperative zombie game by Valve. That was very...
It was scary.
Let's just say The Witch. That was scary.
There was definitely elements of terror and heightened adrenaline.
Yeah.
I forgot about The Witch.
Yeah. It wasn't like a jump... Well, that was a jump scare. But it was more just... You know, you walk in there, you hear that noise that she makes, and you're just like,
oh my God, where?
Chills everywhere, all up in your body. Or like when the tank would show up, like that was just heightened adrenaline rushing fear.
Or a tank, it would throw you into a witch.
Yeah.
And arrow the whole party.
So screwed. screwed.
And your fourth guy is like, I'm going to come help. And then he gets dragged off by a smoker.
Yeah. You're like, yeah. Well, I guess.
Great.
That's the end of that game. Let's start over, guys.
You ask Meg a story about Left 4 Dead, and she will.
Ooh, yeah.
She'll tell you.
I left her for dead. Yeah.
Run. All right, on to me. Yeah. So my third one is Silent Hill 3.
Okay.
And I actually only watched my friend play. I never played it myself. But from what I saw, it was super freaky. I mean, I'm sure you guys have seen things of Silent Hill.
Yeah, I stayed away from that game. I was
that was a different type of game.
Yeah.
It was a very, well, you know, at the time, being young, it's very sadistic.
Okay.
Mind bending. Yeah. Of course, my friend's like, come on, you gotta watch me play. This is so cool. And I was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
what was the story behind that one? Because Resident Evil is all about like zombies and stuff, right? And this is like,
right. Well, what's
the threat here?
You go to like a hellish world where like things have been just smushed together and they're like demon possessed. They're not really demon possessed. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, like ghosts and shit.
Yeah.
You know,
there's some paranormal things going on.
Okay. Paranormal, whereas the other one was just like
creatures,
zombie
that,
things.
Yeah.
Man-made virus. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really a hellscape.
It's always how it happens. Those viruses, they just ruin everything.
Screw you up, man.
Screw you up so much.
And that's why you don't vaccinate your children.
Yeah,
no, please vaccinate your children.
Flu virus, guys. You don't want the flu. It's bad. Vaccinate.
Charlie, you
got political kind of with that one. Yeah, my last one, generally the Half-Life series, I won't pinpoint a single game.
Yeah.
But the Half-Life series had a really good, you know, theme of, you know, sometimes you just be doing your own thing and you'd be kicking ass, but sometimes it'd be very scary.
You know? It's funny because I never think about that game being a scary game.
Right.
But they're like those head crabs, man. Mm-hmm. They will freak you out
so much.
I remember
being terrified.
Yeah.
Lots of terror.
Yeah.
As a child.
Yeah.
Those head crab noises and then the Ravenholm. Mm-hmm. That was the thing that I never wanted to go back to Ravenholm ever again. Yeah.
And that's like legendary for a lot of gamers, you know.
Yeah.
The Ravenholm's scenario.
No,
I remember it was
bad.
I might have told a story on the podcast before, but I remember the first time I got there and I walked out and I was like, and I heard that noise and I saw the thing on the roof. I stopped my game and I was like, Travis, what are you doing? He's like, I got family over. I was like, I'm coming over right now. I took my whole computer rig and we went upstairs and we played that whole level through and we were totally engaged.
and that, and it was just, yeah, that was a good moment in that game.
Yeah. Well, it was really cool. I mean, it was terrifying, but it was cool. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's Half-Life for me in a nutshell.
Yeah. Just Half-Life was awesome.
Cloud over it.
Yeah.
Of terror.
Did you ever play The Evil Within?
Sure. I played the first one. I haven't played the second one yet. That's on like my backlog.
Yeah.
Right.
I found The Evil Within to be scary, but at the same time, not. Something about it, I don't remember, but I just wasn't completely caught in the web of scare.
Right, right.
You know? I see that, yeah.
Yeah. That was a weird game for me. I tried it. I gave it a little bit of time. Didn't enjoy the gameplay of it. Mm-hmm. So I didn't go further. But there was some freaking... I mean, that first part where you're doing kind of like the Alien Isolation kind of thing where you're trying to avoid the... I think the guy had like an axe or something that was going to like chop your head off probably or something like that. So
as
you're
they
like
do.
Crawling through little holes and things in the walls to get away from him. And then he chases you down a hill or down a hallway and then you go through the door and then everything's hunky dory until yeah. the next place where you're about to die.
Yeah.
So that was amazing. So good. So good.
He looked so enthralled by that.
Yeah. Did you guys ever play Amnesia?
I played a little bit of it. Yeah. Didn't get very far.
Yeah. Scared. Couldn't handle it.
No, actually, I just didn't get very far. I got stuck in a room. I did not know how to get out of it. And I was
really?
You know what? Fuck this game.
That'll do it.
Yeah,
do
yeah. It. That'll knock you back pretty quick. Something else I want to mention, too. I didn't put this on my list, but Gone Home still... I mean, I know I always go back to that game because I love it so much, but that was a freaky game that wasn't supposed to be freaky, but I love how it was freaky and not intending to be freaky. That was magical.
Yeah, to elaborate.
Huh?
Elaborate.
No, because like I was on edge the entire time walking through this house by myself because it was the fear of the unknown. Like I didn't know what was coming, but it never had any scary moments. But it was just because I didn't know what was coming. I was like, I'm gonna walk this door. It's dark. Mm. It's raining outside. There's thunderstorms. Like every moment was.
You could have found a killer in there.
Yeah.
Oh God.
And then once I finished, I was like, oh, this wasn't meant to be scary at all. And it just felt that way the entire time. And I was just did not enjoy my experience with it because I was so tense. But I still love it for that reason. It's so good. Yeah. So
nice.
Good.
Very nice.
So, definitely some really scary games. The Dark Souls and especially Bloodborne.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know. Do you guys have much experience with these games?
Yeah, I got pretty far in Bloodborne.
Because it kills me.
Absolutely. Bloodborne absolutely scares the fucking ever-living shit out of me. And not just because it's hard as hell.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
Yeah, it's got a lot of things going for it that just are bad in my mind. Of like, just it's hard. It doesn't teach you things. And it's scary.
That game's definitely in Brett's no-no zone.
Yeah.
You know? One thing about the characters or the demons inside of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of creepy creepiness.
All right.
Yeah. But
anyway.
Cool. Well, I think that's going to cover it. There's a lot of horror games out there. A lot of good stuff being made. There's more coming out. Obviously probably next year. We got a lot of good stuff that we don't even know about yet. So I'm excited to see what comes down the line. But if there's a horror game that you guys really, really enjoy, let us know in the comments and tell us why you like that game. Or if there's something that you don't think anybody's ever heard of before and you're like, this game was underappreciated but scared the living bejesus out of me, let us know. Tell us. You know, we'd like to hear what it is. So that's going to wrap up our discussion. If there's something else that you want us to talk about, let us know at hello@theinnergamer.net. And don't forget to check out our video of this segment every Thursday at youtube.com/theinnergamer.
You're listening to The Inner Gamer.
Looking forward to next week? Let's talk about our upcoming video game releases.
Yeah, on November 3rd, we have Call of Duty World War II for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. This is Call of Duty returning to its roots, boots on the ground with World War II. It's a breathtaking experience redefining World War II in the new gaming generation. You have a single-player campaign where you start out at Normandy on D-Day and battle across Europe through iconic locations in history's biggest and most monumental war. Also, you can have some classic Call of Duty combat and multiplayer. In addition to that, we have some really exciting cooperative zombie modes that takes you deep underground into the land of Nazi zombies? Question mark?
Question mark? Ooh.
So in addition to that, on November 7th, we have another console release, actually. The Microsoft Xbox One X is finally here.
Ba-boom.
True 4K gaming, 8-core CPU, 12 gigabytes of RAM, 6 teraflop graphics processing unit, and much, much more for $499. So Microsoft fans, Xbox fans, this is for you.
So excited.
Prepare yourself. In addition to that, we also have on that same day, Sonic Forces comes out on the PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. In Sonic Forces, the evil Dr. Eggman has conquered much of the world with help from a powerful and mysterious new villain named Infinite. Now you must assist Sonic and build an army to reclaim the world as they fight against chaos and destruction. This is a 3D Sonic game, and it is brand new to try out in the world of Sonic stuff. Yeah, last game we have, this is possibly the only launch title for the Xbox One X that seems to be coming out here. It's Super Lucky's Tale for the Xbox One and PC and Xbox One X, actually. This is a game where you follow Lucky, the optimistic, energetic, and lovable hero on the quest to find his inner strength and help his sister rescue the Book of Ages from Jinx. Jinx is the scheming and mysterious villain trying to reshape the world, but for what reason, question mark? Now, I played Lucky's Tale on the VR headset, yeah. Oculus Rift, and it actually is a really cool little clever platformer. I think it's got some legs that could be pretty awesome, so it should be a good game. But
see how it does without the VR.
I know. Yeah. Will it have the same legs that we want it to have? We'll see. So what are you guys looking forward to next week?
Call of Duty.
Yeah, Call of Duty, and then you know, getting that Xbox One X.
Ooh, heck yeah.
I'm actually doing it.
Going for it.
For my wallet to get ravaged.
has it not been already?
It's more ravaged.
I mean, when you open it, it's just...
It's just like dust flies out of it. Yeah. You're like, what is, there's nothing in here. It's just like a desert.
It'll change the sand.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure we'll all be playing some more of the games that we play this week, so that's going to be awesome. Yeah. Lots and lots of stuff to play. I'm looking forward to December when I just have time to just play through these things. And
oh, yeah.
I have a backlog now. I have a backlog. Brett.
You don't even want to know about my backlog.
How do you feel right now?
I don't know. I take it 1 hour at a time.
I see that. Yes, you do.
And hope I don't. I hope I survive. That's my main thing. I hope I survive.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's it. Awesome, guys. Well, that's going to wrap up our show. Happy Halloween again. I hope you guys are going out trick-or-treating tonight. Or if you're listening to this on Wednesday, I hope you went out trick-or-treating last night. Or at least wore a costume or did something cool like that. So be sure and check us out next Tuesday for more from your favorite video game podcast. Visit theinnergamer.net for our latest episodes, blogs, videos, and social channels. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review on iTunes or tell a friend. Who wants to take up the next part?
We also have a Patreon setup, which is a way for you, our listeners, to donate to the cause in order to bring you all the great content you want to hear and see. Even $1 a month will help us keep this content coming to you. Plus, if you support us, we have some awesome rewards waiting for you, such as being a guest on the podcast, getting exclusive content, or just head on over to innergamer.net and click donate to contribute. My name is Austin.
I'm Charlie.
And I'm Brett. And you've been listening to
The Inner Gamer. Oh, my God.